Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, good Saturday morning. Are we all feeling fat and happy this weekend? There's a big Thanksgiving feast we had. The election is over. We can at least celebrate the idea that no more political ads, at least for a while. The deplorables, aka garbage, the supporters of former and future President Donald J. Trump are certainly happy. Even if you're not a Trump fan, isn't it nice just to breathe a second, maybe focus on football and family and all of that instead of all those name-calling and Hitler and all that? It's over for at least a while, we hope. This was the most unusual and tumultuous election of my lifetime. And even the Democrats admit that the people have spoken. So what's next for freedom-loving, Constitution-loving, patriotic Americans who love God and love their country? So joining me this morning is the terrific Mike Carter. I may start calling him Mr. Terrific for his faithfulness, wisdom, and insight. Hey, welcome, Mike.
Good to be here this morning. Yes, excited as we continue to see things move forward, but continue to fight the fight, as they like to say.
Yeah, well, I keep hearing back, you know, the tinnitus has given way to Lee Greenwood, proud to be an American, which just keeps running through my head. I am proud to be American. I was looking back through some old photos this morning. I found one where I was backstage with then-candidate Trump back in 2015. He was speaking, and I remember this because it was in South Carolina, I think, South Carolina Tea Party, and I was friends with the organizer, and they said, hey, when do you want to speak? I said, I want to speak immediately before Donald Trump. I want to be the right last person because the room will be packed, and they'll all be anticipating, they'll fill it up. And of course, Trump shows up early, bumps me, and so I'm sitting there backstage. They came to me as I'm about to go on. Do you mind if Donald Trump goes in front of you? Because his schedule's tight. And I was like, okay, sure, that'd be fine. That happened twice to me, but I've got a photo of
that. That was the right call, by the way, even though I know it was hard.
But it was hard. I'll tell you though, I'll admit it now. He got up and spoke before me, and then the place emptied out. And then I got up on stage and somebody yells from this very sparse crowd because the air conditioning had been turned up so high. It was so cold in there because the crowd. Yeah. Well, after everybody left, it was freezing. Somebody said, it's freezing in here. And I said, that's because the hot air just left the building. I'm sorry, President Trump. I apologize. But anyway, so that happened a couple of times. And, you know, I had
That's probably not all, two times to get bumped by Trump. That's kind of that's an honor,
though. Badge of honor,
You're speaking right before him. And like they had to put him in front of you. They might have been afraid that maybe you would take the energy out of the room.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'll go back, though. I did bump him from the New York Times bestseller list.
That's true, yes.
Back in 2012, when my book displaced his and debuted 10 slots ahead of him. He did write me a nice note from that book. He was a regular author. Yeah. I was a regular author. He wrote a nice note and said, I really like this book. Anyway.
Let's hope he remembers that now that he's president again. There's some good learnings in that book, Secret Weapon.
Yeah.
That was about economic warfare. You introduced economic warfare
and China
to the world.
China.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so being aware of that is a good thing. Hopefully his new policies reflect some of that.
Well, his first term did.
Yes.
It did a good job. I'll be glad to have him back to talk to the team. At least they were willing to listen to me. Anyway, so Trump has won an election. Doesn't mean we have won the nation yet. We have lots of hard work ahead. I want to bring a special guest to the Pirate Money Radio. He's a good friend. He is Rick Green of Patriot Academy. He has his own show on AFR also. He's America's Constitution coach, and his goal is to return America to the principles of liberty. Welcome back, Rick.
Hey, Kevin. Good to see you guys. Good to be back.
Great having you on. Hey, tell us about what Patriot Academy is doing to train both young people and adults to take us back to the Constitution. You had to celebrate that win. I mean, your Constitution coaches have got to be thrilled because we returned to some constitutional principles in the election.
Yeah, man. First of all, I hate to be a Bill Clinton this morning, but I got to say, Kevin, I feel your pain. I did the same thing with Trump in 2021, actually. It was after he was already, on a little bit of a retirement break. And big event in D.C., and he was on before me, and he went like an hour extra. I can imagine that. And so by the time it gets to me, you know, everybody's ready to leave and the room emptied. And it was, yeah, exactly what you just described. Like, wow, deja vu. I feel like we're living parallel lives, brother.
You know, if I'm going to be in the shadow of somebody, I don't mind being in his shadow. That man has literally taken a bullet for us.
Oh, yeah. Man. Sorry, to actually answer your question, I mean, that is why we're excited, because, you know, we have an opportunity. We have not saved America, but we have an opportunity to save America here. This is just, you know, we've crossed the Red Sea and the miracle has happened, but we've got to go take the land, and we cannot be like the children of Israel who were, you know, lazy and scared and unwilling to go engage in the hand-to-hand combat of actually taking inch by inch by inch, and that's what it's going to take to restore America. So like you said, you know, post Thanksgiving, we're fat and happy. And I tried to do carnivore, but I couldn't pass up the broccoli rice casserole. So, you know, we do tend to have a victory and then go lay on the couch and watch football for, you know, the next 2 months.
We can't do that.
Yeah, for 4 years. So we can't do that. We have to actually now, we got the air cover at this point, but now we've got to go take back liberty in every community. And that's what Patriot Academy is about, training people how to do that, start brush fires of liberty in their church, in their community, in their home, and take it back, you know, school boards, city councils, water districts, county commissioners, property rights. I mean, it's all of that. And then we've got a lot of work to do, because half the country is, you know, they still think socialism's just great. So we got to educate them. We got to teach them why the principles of liberty are what will produce the outcomes that they actually want to experience in their families and their businesses.
Yeah, no, what I pictured is as Goliath's head has been chopped off, doesn't mean there aren't four other giants in the land. It doesn't mean that we don't have to chase out the Philistine army. We have to do all of that hard work. But
actually, no, Kevin, I never get to correct you. Usually you're correcting me and schooling me, so I'm going to correct you. No, all that's happened is the stone has hit Goliath in the head. He's fallen down on the ground, and the head still needs to be chopped off. And the video that Donald Trump put out about what he plans to do to the bureaucracy in D.C., that will be the chopping off of Goliath's head.
Whenever he unleashes
Elon Musk and all that. And then we go chase down the rest of the
But we still have to get ready. You know, America was too scared. Right. We were too scared to take on the giant, and Trump did it.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, you mentioned something, but that's broad, though. You said we got to even take on the water districts. Explain that a little bit. That means we got to cover everything right now.
Oh man, you know, these little fiefdoms, these fiefdoms of government at the local level that the left loves. You know, they enjoy spending, you know, their life running local government, and we don't, because we enjoy our families and our businesses and our property and our, you know, our churches and our and mission work and all that. But for the left, man, that's their god. So they've created these little fiefdoms. They've turned these county governments all over the country into these micromanaging do-gooders, and then they create these water districts that manage your water, and they create these, you know, all these co-ops that manage the rest of your life, the homeowners associations. All of that has become an albatross around the neck of landowners, whether it's your business or your home. You know, it's not just DEI and CRT and all of that that is cultural Marxism. It's land controls as well. And I don't mean to get us off subject, but I'm salty about this because, you know, we're in Texas, and in Texas you wouldn't expect that to happen, but it's happening in rural Texas. So the left is just kind of, over the last 20, 30 years, they've just created these entities, and then they've infiltrated them, and we haven't paid attention to it, and we've got a lot of work to do to take that ground back. But everybody can play a part. That's the good news. I mean, you can win elections to these little, you know, whether it's a school board or a water district or whatever, fairly easily if you're willing to go out and do the hard work. So we're going to do it. It's just going to take a lot of effort and a lot of folks being willing to give of their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor for a few years.
Yeah, well, you know, the left, their happiest moment was when the government shut everything down. I mean, that is when they became joyful and put the masks on, and they could control people, they could lecture people. It was the scariest moment for our nation, and it was their proudest, happiest moment. And their worst moment is when the American people speak, we actually have democracy. I mean, we live in a republic, but we have democracy. And they said, democracy, you know, Trump won. He won the popular vote. That is democracy, and they don't like it. So anyway, we're going to have to take a break. We have you for the full hour, Rick Green. We're so happy to have you. We're going to talk about the Constitution. We're going to talk about how we can take America's future back. We'll be back more after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And this Saturday morning, I'm joined with my colleague, Mike Carter, and the amazing Rick Green. You know, this is a special Saturday to me. It was a year ago today, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, that I heard my father had passed. And it's been a tough year. I miss him so much. And he was a great patriot. He taught me everything about the Constitution. He taught me about economics. I mean, he was a great man. Kerry Freeman, a little tribute to him. Hey, and Rick, I'll share this with you, a little bit of the personal history of my dad. He was teaching the Constitution. He worked with the National Center for Constitution Studies. He was a stockbroker. And he was in Oklahoma, and he changed the trajectory of that state. Oklahoma had been Democrat top to bottom. In fact, here's a quote. MSNBC's Luke Russert discussed the state's political history and transformation in a segment on Daily Rundown. He pointed out that the state elected 16 straight Democratic governors from 1907 to 1963, and it wasn't until the 1970s that the Democratic hold on politics started to loosen, and that was from Daily Oklahoman. And now I just saw Oklahoma is one of only two states that was 100% red across, not one single county voted outside of the red, you know, the pro-liberty, pro-Republican position.
What was the other state?
West Virginia.
West Virginia, okay.
Mike? Or you had something to do with this too. I've got this book. Cleon Skousen wrote the 5,000-year leap, the naked communists and stuff. But I've got the book here. It's Freeman Week at Oral Roberts University on page 333, because my dad got in there and convinced John Eidsmo, a constitutional law professor at ORU, to teach the Constitution the way the founders wrote it and not what constitutional law books said. And he had a student there named Michelle Bachman.
I remember that. Wow. I remember I was there. Michelle was in the initial law school when I was there. I met her once, but I didn't really know her. I had a mutual friend. But I remember all that legal stuff that was happening, the Constitution stuff. And, you know, Kerry, I remember when he was here just last year, and it fits so well. He had that "I love the Constitution" on the back of the bumper, on the bumper sticker on the back of his car. That was so much him. He made such impact. Not only back then in the 70s, but I look at that legacy that's carrying on through you, Kevin, and the work you're doing now, and it's powerful.
And Rick Green. Rick, how many Constitution – you're training hundreds, thousands of Kerry Freeman's Constitution coaches. Well,
bro, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going to have to ask David Barton, because David Barton went to ORU as well. So, you know, that could – we might have dots to connect there. The whole Wall Builders, David Barton legacy could be downstream of your dad as well. And that's, of course, my mentor and where I learned so much from. I mean, I went to University of Texas Law School, which was, you know, leftist crazy. I was usually me against the whole class. And thankfully, you know, guys like your dad, David Barton, Cleon Skousen, those kind of folks convinced me to do exactly what you just said. Go back to the founders' view of these things. Study what the founders said. The guys that actually wrote the Constitution. Imagine that. What did they intend by the Constitution? Not what some, you know, liberal justice in the 50s or 60s. Stands on one leg and tries to, you know, get some meaning out of the Constitution that was never intended. Anyway, all that to say, yes, exactly. We're basically trying to make it where you don't have to be someone, like your dad that was as dedicated to it, or David Barton or me or whatever. You can be anybody doing anything in life, no matter whether you're, you know, a teacher, mechanic, a stockbroker, whatever you do. Just take a couple hours a week out of your schedule and be a Constitution host or a coach and invite people over and let our videos do the teaching. And Kevin, we have found that to be incredibly successful. 30,000 Constitution coaches now across the country, over 1 million people gone through the class. Our goal is 5 million before the birthday, the 250th birthday, July 4th, 2026.
Say those numbers again. You just ran through those so fast. How many Constitution coaches?
30,000 across the country now. And
that's amazing.
And when I say coach, you know, to be clear, that's like a host or a coach. Like, you don't have to have the expertise. You don't have to be able to answer, well, what about the 14th Amendment? Da, 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 da. You know, you just have to be able to get people in the room and say, hey, you want to be good citizens? Let's watch these videos and learn how the Constitution's supposed to work. And then let's go do our job in our neighborhood and start those.
That's exactly what my dad did to begin. I remember my mom wanted to microwave oven. and we'd saved up $1,000 to buy a microwave oven in the 70s. And Dad came home and said, you know, we got to play these videotapes from Cleon Skousen. And so we went and bought a VCR. This is like 1973 VCR. It's like huge. And he brought that home. The kids were thrilled. Mom, not so much. She said, there's my microwave. I remember that. But he would play Cleon teaching the Constitution until he got to where he could taught it. But then he went and taught it in Baptist and Methodist churches throughout Oklahoma. Wow. And that's what turned the state around. Because he went
Wait, Kevin. So what you're telling me is your dad was cooking up some liberty. So
yeah, exactly.
No microwave, but he was cooking up some freedom right there in your living room.
Cooking it up with this massive, and it was a VHS player, because Dad knew that Beta was not going to win. He knew it was better technology, but he played it. Yeah. And the Baptist churches initially objected because Cleon Skousen was Mormon. Right. And so they didn't like that. Baptist churches. And, you know, what's interesting is that does remind me a little bit about David Barton and Glenn Beck, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, same thing, man.
Come together. And you know, Glenn Beck, he absolutely can directly trace to Cleon Skousen and the 5,000 year leap. And anyway.
Well, shoot, man. You got, I mean, goodness, Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, Ronald Reagan. I mean, all of them were schooled by Cleon Skousen. I mean, if it hadn't been for Skousen having that big rally in Hollywood in, what, 55 or 6, whenever it was, I mean, that was a big part of the defeating communism in Hollywood and getting rid of it. And anyway, so, I mean, my goodness, man, I'll lock shields with anybody that's for liberty. I don't care what the label is that they have.
Well, the Constitution, it's not a Mormon Constitution. It's not a Baptist Constitution. It's a Constitution.
Right. That's right.
But here's a picture in this book, Jerry Falwell and Cleon Skousen at Tulsa Press Conference. That's my dad introduced.
Oh, wow.
My dad introduced Jerry Falwell, Phyllis Schlafly, and Cleon Skousen.
Oh,
and
wow.
Eldridge Cleaver. In 1980, and that's when Oklahoma turned. I mean, that was it. And it's got quotes in here. My friendship with evangelical Christians. This is a book, There Were Giants in the Land by Cleon Skousen. He's telling his Mormon history and all that. And he said just the exact what you said. He said, I'll lock arms and lock shields with the evangelicals and the Bap. And that's what turned Oklahoma around. From that moment forward, Oklahoma has been a conservative state.
And it's not just conservative, man. It is the, like you said a while ago, only two that were red, but it is the reddest, and it has been the strongest on so many of these issues. I'm embarrassed to say that as a Texan, but listen, Oklahoma has been kicking tail in restoring liberty, and we need to learn some lessons from them. So, by the way, Skousen's 5,000-year leap that you mentioned earlier, when I started Patriot Academy 25 years ago, our students have them read 5,000-year leap. I mean, it is a huge influence on what we're doing.
Well, and you lock shields here. I've got Where's the Line, How States Protect the Constitution by Ken Ivory, our good friend. He's been on the Economic War Room before. He lives in Salt Lake, and he won,
great,
right?
And a great, yes, and a great Pirate Money radio advocate, or Pirate Money gold advocate in Utah.
And he's
put
a ton
great
of
things.
People through our Constitution classes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so this is an opportunity for us to bring liberty. And one of the most important liberties that we have, Bill Federer talks about all the time, the most important thing we can do is share the honest gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, and I'm not Mormon. If I believed in the Book of Mormon, I would be Mormon. I don't believe in it. I believe in the Bible exactly as it's written, and that's what I support. But we have the opportunity to share our faith, and actually they have the opportunity, whether atheist or whatever, to share their faith or lack thereof. And that's an important thing to protect.
Yeah.
And that's the second most important thing. The first most important thing we do as believers is share the gospel. Second most important thing is defend the liberty that allows us to do number one.
And the timing is perfect. The timing is perfect for that right now. Rick, you know, you said this is not a time where we lay back and say, okay, let's Trump won. Okay, we can relax. The hunger out there, and on X this morning, I saw a young lady who said, you know, I thought America stood for all these policies, Harris policies, and that's where America was, but I'm realizing that's not where America is. And so she was honest and said, help me understand. I want to hear from the other side now. And so as you start to see that awakening, where things are changing out there from perceptions that have been established, it's so important that we have a ground game to help answer that in a caring way, in a compassionate way, but making sure the truth is heard. And I think what you're doing at the Institute there is just fantastic timing to take advantage of where things are going as people start to say, okay, what's really happening here?
Yeah, and people are hungry, man. They, you know, I've been doing this 30 years, and the number of people now that get excited about learning the Constitution is shocking to me. And the fact that they are asking the right questions. I mean, I got a call today from a fairly well-known celebrity saying, "I really don't understand this Electoral College thing. Can you explain this thing to me?" And those types of questions abound, and people want to know how this thing works and how do I restore liberty. And the reason is simple, guys. They felt the pain, man. They had to taste a little bit of the tough times in order to understand why weak men had led us into those tough times, and now they're getting tough so that we can get back to the good times. And the formula hasn't changed. The beautiful constitutional and declaration principles that the founding fathers gave us, they still work today, but we've got to fall back in love with them. And so it literally falling in love with freedom of speech, falling in love with freedom of assembly, falling in love with the right to defend your family, understanding why due process is so important and blind justice is so important if you really want to enjoy freedom. All of those things, are fairly simple if we can just get people to sit down and pay attention for a little bit. And what we do, I think, better than anybody at Patriot Academy is we make it fun to study these things. I hate boring history. I hate boring, classes and lectures. And, it's good content sometimes from these folks, but it puts people to sleep. So we make it fun and entertaining. We take them into Independence Hall. We go march with the Minutemen at Lexington. We keep them on their toes, and we make it exciting to be a good citizen. And last thing, sorry for filibustering, but yeah, when you were talking about the gospel, Kevin, an election is nothing more than a metric, a measurement of how well we did at making disciples. Because the gospel is to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything he commanded. If we do a good job of making disciples and teach them everything that he commanded, then they will demand truth, justice, and the American way, because the American way is based on biblical principles. So if people are disciples of Christ, they're looking for biblical principles. They'll vote for people that will push those biblical principles and live for those biblical principles. So if we're doing the Great Commission, then the country will be free. If we're not making disciples and we're separating our faith from our communities and how we treat our neighbors, then we will not be free. It really does come down to that.
Well, we've got to do a lot of re-educating, because we've redefined what family is. We've redefined what liberty is. We've redefined so many things. Here's a Milwaukee Independent headline from November 6th. Dark future: Americans abandon U.S. Constitution with decision to elect a self-declared dictator. This is how much deception is out there.
It's Orwellian.
It is absolutely Orwellian, as they've redefined terms. But we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how we can bring people back to truth, back to the Constitution, and make America great again. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about the election. Here we are, Thanksgiving weekend. We've just enjoyed a great feast with our families. We've got a great guest. Mike Carter's here with me, but we've also got Rick Green. And Rick, I want to ask you, I think people voted their pocketbooks to a large degree. They felt the pain of bad policies, and so they voted their pocketbooks. What scares me is the Biden administration was effective at lowering gas prices by releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. But they didn't do anything about the butter price, right, and the grocery price. If people had gotten cheap groceries, would they have still voted for the word salad that we were hearing, which, unburdened by what has been and all of the Kamala Harris took both sides of every position, fracking, the war in Gaza. She took both sides of every position. And I think she might have gotten away with it if grocery prices weren't so bad. That scares me. People weren't, they were voting economics, not values. And how do we get people to recognize the principles rather than just the outcomes?
Yeah. That's the key, man, because and for anybody that doubts whether or not what you're saying is true, let's go back 3 or 4 years. People were willing to sell their liberty for a check from the federal government. They were willing to shut down their businesses, their lives, their churches, everything, as long as they the government promised to take care of them. So we violated that old, you know, we give Ben Franklin credit for it, but it's actually a letter from the colonial legislature in 1755. We think he was behind it. But that famous phrase of, if you give up your liberty for safety, you deserve neither liberty or safety. And that's essentially what we did. That's the American people. The American people laid down, cowered, and gave up their freedom for a little bit of what they perceived to be security. So I absolutely think you're right. They would, if the prices were better, if the economy's good and all that, they'll fall for the lies. They won't pay attention. They won't get involved. That's the nature of man, to just enjoy the good times and not do the hard work. So how do we solve that? We solve that by what we said right before we went to break. We get people to fall in love once again with the principles of liberty. They have to recognize that if the foundations are destroyed, then what can the righteous do? They have to recognize that if we allow for the basic ideas of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of our religion, you know, due process, all those things we mentioned, if those things go away, then your economic liberty goes away as well. If we don't have blind equal justice, if we don't have a good legal system in this country, the economy falls apart. You can't even trust to do business with someone because you don't know whether or not the courts will uphold the contract. You can't even, you put your sweat equity in and build a big business, or they'll do to you what they did to Donald Trump in New York and start destroying your businesses and taking all of that away. So if we don't have the basics of liberty and freedom, then we will not get the benefits of the blessings of liberty. And we have to explain that to people and get them to study that. When I say to people, we don't have to get everybody to understand this, Kevin. We just need that small, you know, 3 to 5% that actually understands these things. They will then drive the agenda. They will then influence their friends and family and neighbors. And that's why when I say 5 million biblical citizens is the key to this thing, you know, we've had 1 million go through our biblical citizenship class. We need 5 million to do it. That's roughly 3% of a presidential election. And it's enough to tip the scales and push this thing to where now it's not just one election, one guy, because I think Trump's a once-in-a-lifetime candidate. And that's why when you look at the disparity in Arizona or in some of these other places, you know, Trump's not going to be on the ballot 4 years from now, folks. So it will be a knockdown, dragout, and we have to get that 3 to 5% educated and equipped to fight for these basic principles of liberty, not just for a particular candidate.
Well, you know, I think that was effective with former Democrat Elon Musk. And I think he was able to look enough down the road to say, wait, if these policies continue, then we'll be in slavery. If we give
look
up
at his
free
tweets,
speech.
Man, the guy's sharing Milton Friedman videos. I mean, I'm like, when Elon Musk is sharing a Milton Friedman video, something good is happening in the country. But it's because he gets the principle. See, Elon is thinking so far ahead of the rest of us. That guy's a savant, right? So he's thinking, in order for us to have the economy and the competition that will produce the technology for me to colonize Mars, that's what he wants to do, right? So for us to have an economy that would produce that kind of competition and companies and all those things over the next 20 years, what are the inputs into the culture that will allow for that to happen? And the guy has figured out, that's why he calls himself a cultural Christian now, he's figured out that the Christian principles of liberty and free enterprise and all of that, that's what will produce what he actually wants. So he doesn't believe Jesus Christ is God, but he understands, kind of like Ben Franklin, boy, you Christians, we're praying for him. You Christians sure make good citizens. Y'all sure produce a good society. And he gets it. He gets when Elon Musk starts paying people to sign a petition that not just says freedom of speech, here's the thing. This guy saved freedom of speech by buying Twitter, and everybody thinks that's his one issue. What did he say? You got to support the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. Elon Musk, a South African, has been on stage all over the country talking about why the Second Amendment is the right to protect yourself from the government. I'm going, wow, we've been teaching that forever at Patriot Academy, and people think we're crazy. This guy's actually bringing back to life the principles of the Constitution. All right, I got excited again, guys, but I'm telling you, like you said, when a leftist, I mean, he said on the Rogan interview, I was on the left 3 years ago. Joe Rogan, he said, I was on the left 3 years ago. I mean, RFK, Tulsi, you just go down the list. The pain of the bad policies of the left has awakened these people. And thank you. Thank you, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the Democrat operatives for shoving these people into the loving, open arms of Donald Trump and Kevin Freeman and Rick Green and all the rest of us. I mean, we are glad to have these folks on our team.
Oh, no question. And with Elon Musk, you also have, like you said, Tulsi Gabbard and Naomi Wolf, who was on this program. And
oh, yes.
So many people that we saw as potential enemies that are now coming along and saying, no, this Constitution, this liberty thing is pretty good. It's just logically. We got to get you, Rick, on the Joe Rogan program. I think you would be a great Joe Rogan guest.
He'd be
down the road from you. Would you go spend the full 3 hours with him, though? Would you make him come to you? I mean, I think that was one of the...
I would not do a Kamala Harris, Oh, man, his interviews with Vance and Trump and then Elon the day before, I mean, it was... Well, think back to, you mentioned Naomi Wolf. I mean, think back to breaking the COVID crackdowns. The critical moment for that was when Joe Rogan had Peter McCullough and Robert Malone on back-to-back. When that happened, what was that, December of 2021? When he did that, it broke the – because it was free speech, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the truth got out to 50 million people. We, you know, you and me and others had been saying that, but our audiences compared to him are so small. All of a sudden, when Joe Rogan did that, boom, man, it broke the stronghold, and we started being able to get the resistance going across the country.
He can be the Rush Limbaugh of our generation. We had to have Rush Limbaugh during the Reagan years. Joe Rogan can be the Rush Limbaugh of this generation.
Amen.
He's not quite there yet. Rush is in a league of his own in heaven right now. But Joe can be.
I'm a Rush baby, man. I mean, so much of what I believe I got from Rush.
And he's close to Patriot Academy, right? So it'd be easy to get him over there. He could go through the whole training. And it's been a while it's been a while since I caught up. I remember the vision of what you're building there and seeing the dream we're going to build. You know, all these things from Pennsylvania. Tell me what you got there. Bring your audience up to speed. What all is built? Yeah. What are you doing now?
And if you have Joe Rogan there, you've got to call me so we can come down and be part of it. Do you promise that?
You got it, brother. And I have a guy that's a mutual friend with Joe and he actually is one that got Joe to move to Austin and anyway, so we'll see, man. You guys pray for that. But we're fully operational. We've got 60,000 square feet of beautiful ranges, some of the best ranges in the country. We've got our legislative hall built, so we're now doing full legislative simulations. We did a mock-up of the Texas House chamber and committee rooms, and so now we can do what we call the Patriot Experience, where a citizen of any age from around the country can come to Fredericksburg, Texas, and they spend a few days with us, and they get to be a legislator for a few days, so they really learn how a constitutional republic works from inside. They get to experience what it's like to do that. They get a constitution crash course. They get speaking training and, you know, how to go testify in front of their school board or committee or whatever. They can do a handgun defense class. We've trained thousands and thousands of people on how to defend their families, which is important because, you know, Trump's elected, but listen, 20 million came across the border. Hamas, you know, cartels, you name it, they're all over this country, and crime is through the roof. So you got to be able to defend your family as well. So anyway, all of that's operational. We got 40 tiny homes that are almost done. They'll be ready in just a couple of weeks, and so people can stay on site and do the Patriot Experience. So we invite everybody to check out patriotacademy.com and come get trained, get equipped, and then go home and start that brush fire of liberty.
And this is for all. I know your sweet spot's that I heard you say 16 to 25. You have one for older adults like myself.
Absolutely, man. It's all ages now. So the 16 to 25 program, that's what we do in state capitals all over the country in the summer. So we'll travel across the nation and bring the young people, the young leaders, into the state capitals. But this one at Patriot Academy at our campus in Fredericksburg is for all ages. So families can come. You know, you bring your kids and you all get to participate.
I want to jump in here. You did an amazing job and have done for years. You and Charlie Kirk, though, have done a huge difference. I mean, look at the young people voting. The differential compared to what it was 4 years ago is amazing. Young people are waking up to liberty. They don't want what Washington Post has told them. Oh, well, lower your expectations. Maybe when you're much older, you can buy a townhome, but you'll never own a home with a backyard and a dog and a family and all that. Young people are not. They're rejecting that bad idea because they're learning through Patriot Academy and really through Turning Point USA.
Dude, I'm telling you, Charlie deserves the Medal of Freedom. This kid is, I mean, he's 30 years old, another savant like Elon Musk. He's absolutely brilliant, but his strategy is what makes the difference. He gets how to win, right? And so he's done a phenomenal job. I love Charlie. I tell you what, I texted him yesterday because I don't know if you watched his at 1 o'clock in the morning, whenever, you know, everything, when Pennsylvania got called and he got choked up on the air as they were doing their show. But what did he say? He said, guys, wait, and all the guys on his show, everybody's talking, everybody's excited. They're talking about who did what and giving credit to all these people. And Charlie stopped him and said, guys, we got to give God credit.
This Amen.
Is this is God moved. And so I texted him. I said, Charlie, you are at a point where everybody knows your name. You're famous. You've made an incredible difference. You're going to be able to name your ticket. But you gave God the credit, and the fact that you're still humble at this point is incredible. That speaks volumes. And guys, God brought people like Rob McCoy into his life, and just, I'm just so thrilled with what Turning Point is doing. And we're kind of a intellectual engine with them. We provide our classes to them, and they push our classes out to all the churches that they're involved with around the country and other things. But I think Charlie is, I think Turning Point is poised to do even more than what they've done up to this point. But the stuff they've done behind the scenes, the strategy that he put in place with the chasing the ballots, all those things, man, I'm honored to get to work with the kid. He's 30.
He's 30. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
I'm an old man now, so he's the kid, but he's amazing.
He came on Economic War Room not long ago. He was at North Texas, University of North Texas, and he stopped by and we did a good show with him. He's been a friend for a long time. One of my dearest friends was his earliest donor, Miss Joy, and then of course, Dick Uihlein and Foster Freeze, mutual friends, gave him a lot of money. But he's built something amazing, and he's promised to help us with pirate money. And I want to talk with you, Rick, a little bit about that when we come back from this break. How do we take our money back to the Constitution?
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, liberty, security, and values were on the ballot. We did Economic War Room shows about that, you know, comparing Trump and Harris. And I think we had a good outcome. I'm pleased with the outcome. Yeah, but I'm afraid people did vote their pocketbooks. They voted, you know, what's best for me economically immediately, not looking further out like Elon Musk looks further out, like we were talking about right before the break. And I'm fearful that there will be bread and circuses offered at some point. Rome, they debased their currency in Rome to allow, dictators, emperors to take over. The Republic, became an empire instead. And bread and circuses, the whole on the dole, even the term on the dole was handing out free bread in Rome, and people lined up to get their dole of bread. And I'm concerned that, you know, we could easily become a social welfare state as people say, I want my fair share. Give me my money. There are really only three things you can do with money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And if you've got questions about money, you can send them to us at AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. That's AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. And we've got this Saturday, we've got the amazing Rick Green from Patriot Academy joining us. We're talking about money. We're talking about the election. We're talking about the Constitution. And Rick, you've been a big ally as we've promoted constitutional currency, Article 1, Section 10 money, gold and silver, as opposed to paper money. You've studied history. What did the founders of this nation think of unbacked paper money?
Yeah, in fact, Kevin, I want to give you some credit here, man, because iron sharpening iron, brother. You really helped educate me on this, and your book, Pirate Money, huge. And I've talked to so many legislators across the country and others that their whole thinking on this has changed because of what you brought to light. And the history that you teach, as a part of this. Even when I first started doing the Constitution coaching thing, you know, 15 years ago, when I got to Article 1, Section 10 on this, I kind of skipped over it, and I might, you know, I said a couple of quick things and then moved on, and I didn't realize the no kidding golden nugget that was right there for us to be able to use. And so God bless you, man, for being able to seize on that and realize it, because you said something earlier that I think fits here. You know, all of these things and people voting their pocketbook and whatnot, man, we can't escape the consequences of the bad decisions of the last 30, 40 years. And so there's some economic reckoning that has to happen at some point. And so the things that you're trying to get these legislatures to do and get us to a point that we can at least hedge against the damage that has to come as a result of dumping $10 trillion on the market and all the dumb things that we did in COVID and in the years before that, you're bringing a real solution. And I don't know which state's going to win the lottery here and be smart enough to do this first. I wish Texas would do it, but we'll see who it's going to be. But your efforts to do this, I think, are founding father-esque in getting back to the idea that we would actually be able to have a currency that's backed. I mean, look, BRICS is actually even going to be, you know, backed by a metal. So anyway, I never give you enough credit, brother, because we don't get to spend enough time together. And every time I think about Article 1, Section 10, I go, man, why didn't I meet Kevin Freeman 20 years ago? I would have been teaching that 20 years ago. So anyway, thank you.
Well, I can just say it is happening, and it's happening in 20 states. Legislators we're working with right now to move this forward legislatively.
Red Oklahoma.
Yeah,
awesome.
Oklahoma looks very encouraging. I'd love it to be Texas since we live here in Texas, but Kevin and I both have roots back in Oklahoma. It'd be fun to see it happen there. Rick, you're in Austin, so whatever we can do to mobilize your team and help get this thing done in Texas, we've got that bullion depository.
You're not quite Austin. You're much better than Austin. You're Fredericksburg.
I'm west of weird.
That makes sense to me, actually. but the work that you do in terms of getting people excited about the Constitution, getting them excited about liberty, there's nothing that matters more than economic liberty, because if we can't control our money, we don't have control of anything out there.
And that's so even biblical. Luke 16:11, if you're not faithful with your money, you will not be trusted with true riches. And it's faithless to have unbacked. It's an unjust weight and measure. I think it's Proverbs 11:1. God hates unjust weights and measures. Yeah. The founders hated paper money. They saw the experience of it with the Continental notes. That was an absolute disaster. And they decided that money should be real.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Mike, we've got how many legislators? You said 20.
There's 20 that are actively working.
Name some of the states.
Oh, Utah, Oklahoma, Kansas, Louisiana, Florida, Ohio, Indiana, North Dakota, called the other day.
Iowa, Mississippi, Alabama.
Yeah, hit the Tennessee, Georgia. So it's significant. And, you know, we get one or two, you're going to see the rest falling behind it. But people get it. And this is an issue. I don't know how many there are out there. Rick, you might be closer to some of the politics even, but how often do you get bipartisan support on something? And we're seeing Democrats and Republicans saying, this is an idea I understand. I mean, Joe Scarborough the other day was saying, oh, yeah, butter costs $3. What? This is no big deal. And his wife says, it's $7. What? $7. Everybody cares about inflation now. And we're going to continue to spend. I mean, I'm hoping for great things with Musk getting in there.
Maybe we should talk and see if we can send a PDF of pirate money to all your Constitution coaches.
So,
yeah, we'd love them to buy a paper copy, but you got 30,000 of them.
I'd love to do that. And I also want to make sure that we're educating more and more legislators on this, because this stuff takes time. You know, I mean, it's rare that you get something this big done in the first session that a legislator brings it. It takes time to educate the members. And I mean, guys, I was fighting for vaccine choice 25 years ago. In fact, I was a pariah for even saying that parents should have a choice in which vaccines they inject into their kids. And the medical industrial complex came after me. It's actually why I lost my third race. And it took time, but we finally got it done. It took three sessions, and we finally got parental choice in vaccines.
So hey, do you know RFK Jr.? We got to get you with him. Do you know him?
I don't, but on this issue, I think he's an absolute hero. And
he needs to know what the price you paid. Yeah. We got to get him supporting Patriot Academy. I mean, we don't agree.
Yeah,
don't let him touch our liquid gold. No,
right.
He's not touching
that line for Trump. Yeah, that was great. Well, anyway, all that to say, you know, this stuff takes time, and you know, because you're working with a lot of these legislators as well, And it's like each session you pick up another 5 or 6 or 10 members. And in some sessions you get a, you know, you get a big election turn. And so, you know, we've got, for instance, a ton of new freshmen in Texas, and I'm going to, they're actually coming to the campus to spend some time and use our chamber and kind of get ready for the session. So I'll definitely be talking to them about pirate money and getting ready for the session. But I think this time has come for this, right? I mean, the timing is perfect for it. I don't know which state's going to lead the way, but and you haven't brought it up, you talk about it a lot though, but I mean, the digital bank thing, I mean, all of these things are going to push us to where this has to happen. And, I want to help you in any way that I can on this, Kevin. And I think the timing is ripe. It's going to happen this session somewhere. Meaning this upcoming spring.
I absolutely believe it. Florida looks good. Tennessee looks good. Oklahoma, Iowa, Ohio. I mean, all the states.
There's a lot of them. Utah. I mean, Utah is leading the way and just got done with a significant study bill and moving things forward.
Oh,
there
that
for
was
next
fun.
Session.
On that study bill, we had a vice chairman of the Federal Reserve, retired vice chairman, Randy Quarles, who said, I'm not worried the dollar is ever going to lose its value, but people should have a choice. So we have a libertarian that believes in the paper dollar, but says people should have a choice. Yeah. I mean, he's a terrific guy and brilliant. We got to get around the bankers in some cases. A bankers association is a little new to them, but...
But once they understand, there's an opportunity for them as well. And we're seeing bankers do that. The small bankers especially are getting it. It's the big banks that say, we'd rather kind of control everything that happens here. Well, the big six, they want the CBDC, it seems, to, because then they will have ultimate control. But that's not what drives economies.
Yeah.
So we got to get these local bankers excited about it and moving forward.
We dodged a major bullet, guys, because we were this close to really slipping off into total tyranny and the ability for them to do that. And so this election is there's so many areas, and we haven't even talked about the money supply thing and all of this, but there's so many areas where they were this close to being able to lock us down and making it a lot harder to fight back for freedom. So you said it at the beginning of the program, Kevin, we've got a window of opportunity here, man. We got to press the gas and we got to take ground back so that we don't fall back into what we were so close to being.
All right, I'll take your correction too.
States of America.
We hit Goliath. Now we got to chop his head off. All right, but you've got an AFR radio program as well. Tell us about your program.
Oh, I love AFR. I do a 1-hour call-in show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's called At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green, and Walker does Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I do Tuesday, Thursday, and it's very much like what the three of us just did, man. We just talk about whatever the hot topics are, and we apply a biblical and constitutional and historical perspective to it.
Well, Walker's tremendous. He's the guy that got us on AFR. We had him out at Liberty Hawk Ranch, and he said, "Hey, we got to get you on the radio," and that's how we're here. So yeah. we're doing some amazing things together. I love working with you, Rick. We want to get your Constitution coaches all fully fired up on pirate money, ARG. You know, people don't realize this. The founders chose gold doubloons and pieces of eight because they were pirate money. They did not want British money after we won the Revolution. You can't use their money because they'd still control us. And they really didn't want Spanish money. They wanted the money that had been captured off Spanish galleons by pirates, and that was the common currency that was circulating in the United States at the time. That's why we call it pirate money. But most people don't realize John Paul Jones was considered a pirate, still is today by the British. You know, the founder of the American Navy was a pirate, and pirates helped us win the Revolution because they were privateers and they wanted to see liberty. That's what you're doing. You're training up individuals, people across this country with a passion for liberty because they understand and love the United States Constitution. I just want to congratulate you, Rick, for the amazing work you've done.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm so glad you brought up John Paul Jones because one of my favorite moments of the of the last year and all of the horrific things that the left did with the justice system was when they were marching Steve Bannon off to jail, and he said, "I have not yet begun to fight," which, of course, was John Paul Jones's famous line. And there's a reason the dude's buried in the crypt of the chapel at the Naval Academy, man. That's the that's the kind of spirit we're going to have, man. We have not yet begun to fight, and let's go be some good pirates that bring back. We're going to be patriot pirates, man. Maybe we come up with a whole new book. We'll see.
Yeah, I like that's that. Great. Yeah, I love it too. All right, so if you're listening to this, help us spread the word. Help us build our audience. Share this episode with family and friends. You can get it at piratemoneyradio.com, afr.net, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with you again next week. This is Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio.